of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. It's midnight.
It is possibly the latest start we've ever had.
Yep.
Lucky for you, I have nothing going on this week, and I don't need to get any sleep
or
catch up on anything.
Free week, right?
Yeah.
You got nothing going on?
No. That's false. I have everything going on.
You got a match in like 48 hours.
Yeah, got a Lessons. Match. Yeah. So I was thinking through this today. Not only do I have like soccer all day for work, but tonight we have the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday's a night off. Rarity.
Sure.
Rarity. Wednesday, FC Cincinnati game. Thursday, my own game. And I'm going to a Reds game on Friday, too.
Ew.
I don't know.
Oh, the Cubs will be in town.
Yeah, the Cubs will be in town.
Do you need to borrow my hat?
I will not be borrowing your hat.
Are you sure?
I'm not going to wear that disgusting blue C.
7 3/8? Is that your size?
My head's probably a little bit bigger than that.
my head used to be big, and then I got rid of the padding.
There's not a whole lot of padding up there. I mean, I've got a lot of hair, but it's not necessarily keeping me from wearing a hat that small.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to wear that hat anyway.
Okay. Offer stands.
Look, I know that you grew up here, but I can't go wearing that hat around here. I have a reputation to keep.
Hey, yeah, as a winner. So here you are.
The Reds have won, not as recently as the Cubs have. Anyway, so it's a really busy week.
It's not like you get there playing like big matches, FC Cincinnati. Like,
no.
They're playing some like bottom feeders?
No, only the top three teams in the league.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's so far so good.
Well, the first of the three went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. We don't need to dwell on FC Cincinnati happenings this early on in the show. But
I actually showed up to it, so that we do need to almost
that is that. Weird. So this was a special moment for you because you get to come to this game as a fan, for the first time,
and shout at you from the stands,
which you did. Uh-huh. I could not hear you in the press box if you were shouting.
No, I did a little bit.
Yeah,
I also shouted at our friend Tana, and she did not hear me.
Oh, well, maybe she's deaf.
Could be. I mean,
just in that one ear.
When you work in radio, you wear those headphones all day.
Wear one out. But yeah, you got to go to the game for the first time. Both of us obviously used to work for the Cincinnati Saints, then the Dayton Dynamo.
Heard of them.
You are now no longer with them. You're with Gotham Soccer.
Yeah.
Which is not a team.
It's a league.
It's a league. So that means you got to go to an FC Cincinnati game like as a fan now. Now that you're not necessarily connected to a club, you don't have any obligations, you can go and do what you want to do.
Yeah, I can just enjoy a pro soccer team in my town.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
sat in like the seventh row and watched a dude from Senegal just pour one on.
Yeah, it was a fun one. So again, we'll get back to that, but I'm glad you get to enjoy the match.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Drink some beer?
Actually, I didn't.
What?
Yeah, I just it was a long walk up those steps. I was just,
it is a long walk up those steps. They are steep at the top.
I thought we were going to, because my buddy showed up a little late, and I was like, we got these general admission seats that my buddy Kyle gave me. We'll probably have to sit, you know, in like the top rows, because everyone else is already, the game's already started. And we started walking down the aisle, and kept looking like, full. Going all the way down to where it kind of starts to level out there at the bottom of the bowl. Here's some seats.
How about that?
So I sat there, and there was a Wenger out sign.
There was a Wenger out. Should we be reserving that for winners and wipers?
I did not. It's honorable mention.
I didn't either. It's very close. Well, before we get into segments that are much later in the podcast, we keep trying to. Let's get into the one that we normally start things off with.
Tarantino this thing and go
let's
backwards.
Just do a fantasy thing real quick. We'll dash through this guy. Fantasy.
Everyone sucks.
Yeah, everyone sucks. Fantasy English Premier League. Jeremy improved 5 places to 41st. I fell 1 to 48th.
Harry Kane.
Harry Kane, he did it for you this week?
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think Lukaku scored, so.
He did.
Oh, well then.
He did score. So combo. Both of them. Chad Arnett still leading 7 shows running. Looks like he's in a good position towards the end of the season here. Over the MLS League, 99 problems, top 100 ain't one. Still leading. That's now 3 shows running for him and or her. We're not really sure which. I improved 3 places to 36th. You didn't go anywhere. You're still 56th. Second off the bottom.
Second off. Maintain.
Maintaining. Hey, at least you didn't go down. There's your fantasy update. And I'm hurrying along here because there is lots of European football, lots of domestic football for us to get into. And we're going to start on the other side of the pond.
We have a title race.
Mm-hmm. It's back on, supposedly.
We have quite the title race to talk about. Supposedly, Bagman, it's a 4-point.
A few shows ago, I like went over a bunch of numbers that basically said Spurs had to be perfect.
Sure.
And Chelsea had to drop 7 points.
Right.
Which seemed pretty unlikely.
Okay.
Yeah, you dropped 3 of them. But Spurs still have, they've stayed perfect through this so far.
Let's back up that truck. Yeah. Hold on. Technically, what you just said actually already happened. Spurs have been perfect for a while.
Yes.
And Chelsea at one point did have a double-digit lead that's now 4, so that would be at least 7 points dropped.
I think when we talked about this, I think it was a 7-point gap.
Right, but so they've already dropped to 7 points in their lead. They've already had Spurs stay perfect. If things are trending towards Spurs lifting the trophy.
I'm just uncomfortable with the thought of this. I think this is what this is. I was talking to our good buddy Adam Maloney, two-time podcast co-host fill-in for you.
Yeah.
And Adam was saying, DJ, you
said... Actually, coming up on that anniversary.
It really is.
The time I almost died.
We're almost there. Almost there. Hey, happy staying alive anniversary.
I made it.
Yeah. But when I was talking with Adam about this, he says, you sound like a Spurs fan from Cincinnati. And I was like, oh, that's a really perfect way of putting it. Like, I'm perpetually...
just waiting for the collapse.
Waiting for the collapse, the other shoe to drop. And Spurs have done that to me countless times. Cincinnati Sports have done that to me countless times. And I'm not ready to give that hope, like, or to take in the hope that Chelsea gifted us. Or maybe it wasn't Jose Mourinho, Manchester United gifted us.
A special one.
Judas, the special one, whoever you want to describe him right now. You seem pretty adamant that it's a title race.
It's very much a title race.
Can you explain why?
Floundering. I think the last time Diego Costa scored a goal,
it has been a while.
I was 30. Like, I think it's been a while. Like, it's been like almost like 2 months since he's actually scored a goal. In the Premier League.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've really talked much about him. He was probably the player of the season at the beginning of the year, as far as the league
especially
is concerned.
In that stretch where they win, like, 13 in a row or whatever.
Yeah, but it was just a couple of weeks ago we were talking, too, about Eden Hazard having one of his best seasons in a long time. We're literally, like, 2 games removed from that. Is that enough for you to feel like the rest of the season is collapsing?
Listen, we're coming down the stretch, and... one team is blowing everyone out of the water, and the other team lost to Crystal Palace like a week and a half ago.
Okay, yeah. That is a little damning. I mean, I'll give you that. I'll give you that at bare minimum. Spurs have stayed perfect. I'm going to go back to this real quick. They have stayed perfect since we've talked about this.
I have some numbers on them staying
okay,
perfect.
Okay, go on.
So they back in February, they lost to Liverpool. Since then, in the league, 7 straight wins in a goal differential of 22-4, 4 against.
Whew.
They're not just winning matches.
I mean, we've been
they're housing people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's really an argument to be made against Spurs being the best team in England at the moment. I think for sure we are the form team in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And even with Harry Kane out for a few weeks, and that's the thing that blows my mind about this run with Spurs is we've had like good players picked off by injury throughout the course of the year. There's always been someone that's been out of the mix. Kyle Walker just came back after 3 games out. I mean, it's those type of things, and we've stayed
a good team. A good player's got hurt.
Yeah, and our backups have come in and fulfilled the role not just like admirably, but almost as well. So. It's just one of those things that we've been too good for too long. Like, there has to be a dip. Even Chelsea had this dip. You know, you're going through a little bit of one right now. Maybe Tottenham have just held off on theirs, and they'll do it right at the end of the year as they tend to. I just don't feel like
that's what we have
coming.
To hope for,
yeah,
Chelsea fans, because we know that we're gonna probably be. I mean, listen, if we're talking about who's got it worse, Chelsea have a pretty easy road, relatively.
Yes.
Now, they do have to go to Everton. But who knows? Lukaku could, you know, be feeling it. And then we have, you know, we play Southampton. They've always played us very tight the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So we, a loss there, a draw there. I mean, this could get – this 4 points could get erased a lot quicker than I think.
Okay, I'll give you Everton away. It's a tough game.
That's a tough game.
Their form at the moment is good. That's something you could struggle through. Southampton at home, okay, I'll hear that, although they just got obliterated at their own home by Manchester City, who are not near the team that Chelsea have been this year.
Sure.
These are your next four matches.
Okay.
Middlesbrough, they're going down.
Okay.
West Brom, they're on the beach. Watford, packing their bags for the beach as well. And then, crap team of the year, Sunderland.
Yeah, but is that home or away?
That's at home.
We might have that up.
Stop it. Stop it. It's Sunderland at home.
On the last day of the season?
I'll say this much. A relegated team. This is like when West Ham got relegated a few years ago and Spurs were going to finish above Arsenal. This was last year.
That's it, Newcastle.
Yeah, and then Newcastle, already relegated.
Dropped a fiver on us.
So yeah, you're right. These things happen. But it just... It seems so unlikely, and that's your last few games. And then if you look at where Spurs are,
you have to play United.
Mm-hmm. Also have to play Arsenal at home.
That's like a 5-0 win.
It's still Arsenal. Like there's still
It is still a team that is abject.
And it's been a little while too since Spurs have lost. Have lost to Arsenal at White Hart Lane, and of course that'll be the last time they play them at White Hart Lane. But if you look at the remaining fixtures, we of course have you guys in the FA Cup that's still to come.
How do you think that's going to go, by the way, as far as like player selection?
I think Spurs kind of need a trophy,
okay.
And we've not really rotated our team.
Well, you have the title that you're going to get.
We need a trophy. That's a one-off shot.
Okay.
You know,
You're going for the double this year.
With nothing else really going on, like, why not just go for it? But Palace away, that's tricky. Arsenal at home. West Ham away. I mean, that's a London derby still. Manchester United at home. Leicester City, still the champions of England and playing much better football at the moment.
Yeah.
And then Hull away. So...
Yeah, a Holloway, a team that will be relegated by that
sure,
point.
Maybe. That's possible. But
so we both play relegated sides at the end of the season?
But that's four of the final six matches that Spurs have are on the road.
United's going to be tough.
United will be tough.
They're playing really well right now.
And Arsenal are going to be tough. I mean, those are two really hard games, and the rest of them are on the road. So it's one of those things that's part of the reason why I just don't know that Spurs can sustain – for the next six matches, this perfect run.
But if Mourinho is still going in Europa, he might roll out, you know, some B-sides there for a...
He did that this weekend, and that didn't necessarily impact things too much.
But it wasn't a full B-side. He sat Zlatan and, like, one other guy.
Ashley Young started and was captain.
Yeah, hey, man.
But, okay, so let's talk a little bit about your game.
Okay, let's talk
a lot about Spurs. Spurs were awesome.
I didn't watch it, actually. It was Easter Sunday. I was at church.
Well, I watched it for you. I was in my church, which is right where we're sitting at the moment.
Like any good Catholic, you were at home.
I'm actually not Catholic.
You went to a Catholic school.
I'm not Catholic, though.
Did they know that?
They did.
Okay.
And
they still let you show up, huh?
It's a diversity thing, probably.
Yeah.
You know,
met their quota.
As far as white Catholic high schools go, diversity is letting in a Protestant kid. Well, ironically, I'll tell a story here. Most people who've met me have heard this at one point or another, but my first day of class, I went to a religion class. My family is not overly religious. We did not go to church a whole lot. And in my first ever religion class, we had to stand up, say our name, our favorite hobby, and what parish we went to. I lean over to the kid next to me and I go, "Dude, what's a parish?" And the kid looks at me like I'm crazy. He goes, "It's where you went to school, man." And I was like, "Huh, that's weird. Okay." So they get around to me and, you know, "Hi, I'm DJ. I like soccer. And my parish is Middletown Public Schools." And everyone was like, "Why?" Yeah. And my teacher goes, "No, no, 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 no. Like, what church did you go? And I'm like, oh, I'm not Catholic. And I was like,
there's like a hush fall over the crowd.
And everyone was like, ugh, kind of like that. And then a guy that I'd met, who's now one of my best friends, but sitting in the room next to me, or in the seat next to me, goes, oh, it's because he's Jewish. Like, that was the only other option that was on the table for like a white kid who wasn't Catholic. And that stuck with me. And then we found out in college, my hair was curly. Another guy from my high school went and played soccer with me in school. So it stuck. And to this day, I still have people who think I'm Jewish from that very first day. So yeah, I'm not actually Catholic, but yeah,
long story or Jewish,
short, or Jewish for that matter. But that was why I was sitting here watching Manchester United do a number on your boys this past
Sunday. Yeah, Herrera got away with really the same tactics he played in the FA Cup match to just be right up in Eden Hazard's business.
And he was the entire
match. He
just
didn't get carded twice in a matter of 5 minutes like he did in the FA Cup match.
They just said back off a little bit this time. No physical force to be exerted here. But he did get away with a criminal handball in midfield. And to be fair, I don't think it was an intentional one. I think it just hit his arm.
We're not calling handball this year. You didn't know that?
I guess not.
That's off, yeah. Mm. New rules.
Sounds good. Now we know. But then he, to be fair, after the handball, he laid out a perfect pass that split the defense open to Zlatan Ibrahimovic stand-in, Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, who it looked then, a little different.
Yeah, slightly. Age is
a little different
also
build.
About half the difference as well. But Rashford coolly finished, and it was pretty much all United from that point forward, which, again, was a little surprising given some of the players that were arrested and that weren't playing in the match.
Well, Chelsea also was dealing with their own situations. Thibaut Courtois, apparently, oh, I'm hurt. Ow, my ankle. Begovic, you're in.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird.
Marcus Alonso, I'm pooping my brains out. Can't play. Sorry, guys. Tried to go. Gotta poop. So I'm out.
Is that really what happened?
He was sick. Yeah, no. He was sick.
So we're just gonna assume
he tried to make a go in the warm-ups and had to... I mean, he was in the lineup, and then at the end, he was like, ah.
No, I'm out.
Gotta poop.
Happens to the best of us every once in a while. Poop keeps us out. Yeah, the second goal was a bit of a train wreck. Chelsea looked oddly discombobulated on the defensive end of things for a little while. But yeah, Rashford getting that 7th-minute goal. Herrera getting the second one himself.
And there she blows. That'll
and there she blows. So 4 points now with 6 games to play. Spurs do have a superior goal differential. Title race. If you say it's a title race, mister, we'll call
it. Well, and one of the other things I noticed is Conte, so his tendency is, I'm going to make my subs super late in the match.
Yes.
Which works fine if you're winning.
Doesn't work so well.
No.
When
in
you're losing.
In this case, probably should have made one at like halftime. Mm. But he likes to leave it that last, you know, 15 minutes. All 3 subs.
Well.
Oh, well, let's talk about you guys. You guys blew out somebody, right?
Yeah, we blew out, who was it, Bournemouth?
Yeah, Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. It was actually kind of a boring match in that Spurs were just completely dominant and just rolled over them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like when Chelsea played them previous week. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though they got that goal to at least not make it like a complete blowout, it was 3-1 final score, but... Chelsea pretty much had their way with it.
Yeah.
The whole match.
And Spurs did as well. Kane did get his 20th of the season. That makes it 3 years in a row that he's had 20. In fine company, Mr. Kane is with that 20th goal 3 years in a row. Only 3 other players have performed that feat in the Premier League. And again, this is just modern Premier League history, not first division history.
So 92 or whatever?
Yeah, 92 on. But... still, Alan Shearer, Ruud van Nistelrooy, and Thierry Henry. If you've heard of any of them.
And if he hadn't got injured, probably Aguero should have been on this list, but he gets injured.
Probably, and that's his biggest issue. So Spurs cruising, looking good.
Uh-huh.
Still not all that confident that things are going to work out the way that we would expect them to.
Don't worry, Chelsea will bottle it, just like the Blackhawks are currently doing right before our eyes here.
Jeremy is here. Sucking back the beer a little bit harder than he needed to at the moment. Sorry about that, bud.
Might need to go to the cabinet here in a second on this one.
We've got some hard liquor up there for you. Let's move into the rest of the top four.
Yeah, we actually have a pretty good battle for the rest of the top four now. You know, Spurs and Chelsea have kind of pulled away into their own little battle.
Yep.
And then you have between third place and seventh place, it's what, like a 9-point difference?
Yeah, that's all it is. So Liverpool currently sitting in third, City fourth, United fifth, Arsenal sixth, and Everton seventh. So let's go through a few of these. Let's start at the top. Liverpool, 5 points back of Spurs. So it's an achievable gap. If the Chelsea gap's achievable, this one's achievable as well. They could potentially catch up with Spurs.
No, because that involves Liverpool being flawless, which they have not been as of late, unlike Spurs.
Okay, fair enough. They did get a 1-0 victory over West Brom this weekend, which lifts them and keeps them in that third spot. They needed to because the two teams in the table behind them, City also won, getting a 3-0 win at Southampton, and then United obviously getting the win at Chelsea. So City is now 2 points back of Liverpool. They're in control of that fourth spot, with United 4 points back from them. So it's tight, but not super tight. United could squeeze in there for the same reason that Liverpool could potentially move up into second place and Spurs could potentially catch Chelsea. All these things are relevant here. Where it's really tight,
some
though,
more than others.
Yeah. Where it's really tight is between Arsenal and Everton and United. That's the gap that we're looking at. Arsenal and Everton both just 3 points back of United and ultimately, what is that, 7 points back of City in fourth.
Right. Are they what? Arsenal and Everton both on 57 points.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal winning today. They pulled out a 2-1 victory over a terrible side of Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. Cannot score to save their life.
No, they can't, although they did still today.
They did. And it was almost enough.
Yeah. Arsenal almost crapping to the bed, but getting back into it, getting that 2-1-1 at Borough. Everton, Lukaku on the mark this weekend again. They get a 3-1 win over, who was that, Burnley?
Burnley, yeah. Burnley is kind of like, hey, I think we're safe, so let's just ride her out till till May.
No one thought we were going to be here. 24 goals now for
fight
Lukaku.
Another day.
Lukaku now leading the league, or maintaining his lead, leading tally at the top. So super, super tight. Arsenal just not finding the momentum they're looking for. And I think they're pretty well out of it at this point, as far as fourth is concerned.
Yeah. Before we move, we'll go to the whip around in a second, but we're talking about, you know, teams in the Premier League, and yeah, I think it's almost fitting that we give a salute to a team that is officially joining the Premier League.
That's right.
As of today.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton Hove Albion. I think it's like 83 or something like that. It was like the last time they were in top flight.
It's like 34 football. Years or something like that since they were last in the top flight.
They're back. They secure it. They won today. All of the English league leagues were in action today.
Yeah, that's
because everybody actually had a day off today. Mm-hmm. Unlike here in America, where only schools and governments had day off. It was a bank holiday. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it over there?
That's what they call it over there.
So they had a 4-day weekend. I know that because Wickham played both Friday at 3 p.m. and today at 3 p.m. or 10 a.m. as it is here.
Yes. Congrats to them. The Seagulls making the move up. It's going to be exciting, a new bird in the league with a swan likely to go out.
I'm all about, keeping that variety going, getting some teams we haven't seen. You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awesome when you get to get these new clubs in. Like a couple of years ago, none of us knew about Bournemouth, and now we know all about the Cherries and their unique little culture that they have going on there. And then you get to see some of these new clubs come in, and you learn all sorts of things about the country that you maybe wouldn't have known otherwise. So, yeah, it's awesome. Getting these new guys in, and who knows, maybe they'll provide some more shock upsets for us in the future. But yeah, let's go through the rest of the EPL real quickly. Leicester 2, Palace 2. Both results kind of suit the clubs. 9 points clear and seven points clear, I think, for both of them, respectively.
Yeah, I think it's smooth sailing at the moment in a lot of regards for them.
Sunderland 2, West Ham 2. Go ahead and start your hearse up for Sunderland.
So do you, like, keep David Moyes when you're down there in the – like, do you trust him to give you a winning campaign next year in the second division there?
I don't know. David Moyes has one of the most negative outlooks as a coach.
I mean, like, but look what we're talking about here. We're talking about
– Sunderland.
We're talking about the guy that was the heir apparent to Sir Alex just a few years ago, just when we started our podcast.
Yeah.
Our first podcast was his first match for United. It was a day of the Community Shield. It was the first day we did our podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
And now here we are. This guy, we're not 100% sure if the club he's with is going to hang on to them, onto him, when they move down a division due to relegation. That's his career trajectory.
Alan Pardew's available.
Very available. I'm thinking Pardew, you know, is probably hoping to stay, you know, top flight. But
one would presume
you gotta get what you get.
Yeah, maybe you can coax Brendan Rodgers over from his big project at Celtic.
Hey, if freaking Rafa Benitez can slum it,
that's true.
In second division English football, I mean, what does Alan Pardew think he is? The king. That's the answer.
He is the king.
At least of Cincinnati.
That's a very, very true point, especially if you ask certain
fans. By the way, we recommend all listeners of this podcast that will be eligible to vote for the Cincinnati mayor to just write it Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
Let's see how many people we can get.
That's incredible,
to
actually.
To write in can
we
Alan Pardew.
Neither one of us get to vote in that election.
No, we both live in – you live in Warren County. I live in Butler County, so yeah, we're completely out on that one.
Completely out of it, but let's start this right now. Pardew for mayor.
Pardew for mayor.
I think that's definitely the name of this week's episode.
Pardew for
mayor. Done.
So if you live in Cincinnati and you are going to be voting in the current mayoral election, I don't even know if you can do a write-in because I think they technically have to be a member of City Hall, but whatever.
It's fine.
Just write them in.
Just write them in. Alan Pardew
for mayor. If it completely invalidates your ballot, just write in Alan Pardew.
If you don't care about civic duty, then go ahead and do this joke for us and see if we can make the news. Let's move on. Stoke 3, Hull 1. Grab at least the Hearst keys for Hull. They're right on that line.
Yeah, we're warming up the keys. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I think we need to go here in a little bit.
Yeah, shaking them a little bit to remind
everyone
of
got
life,
their
like,
shoes.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone? I mean, we're dads here.
Yeah.
Does everybody have their shoes?
Where are your shoes? Why do you only have one? Where is the sock?
Where is the other shoe?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You
that.
Were wearing it just yesterday.
Yeah.
What happened?
You were wearing it 5 minutes ago.
You walked into the house with the shoe. You took them off. Where'd you take them off at?
Yeah. That's what's going on right now for someone who would be driving Hull in the hearse. Ultimately, I think they're the only team that's really capable of getting sucked into the fray at this point. They're only 2 points ahead of the drop zone.
We did get a glimmer of sexy Stoke in this, by the way.
Just a little bit.
Shaqiri, mm-hmm. That goal. That's pretty sexy.
He is one of those guys that can just be anonymous for weeks at a time.
He is the embodiment of sexy Stoke.
Mm-hmm.
Where it should be there. It occasionally is there. But on the whole, never really there. Like, Shaqiri's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's a good player. But is he consistent? Nah, not really.
Well, that's why he's at Stoke, right? In the final Premier League match of the weekend, Watford 1, Swansea 0. Luckily for the Tigers.
Swans are screwed.
Yeah. Luckily for the Tigers, Swansea just keep losing as well. So I think they're definitely over that new manager bounce at this point.
Don't worry. They also suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
It's weird. You have four teams that – and this happens a lot. I think you have four teams that must go down, but only three,
only
of, them
three
get
of them are allowed.
So you're going to have one truly dreadful team that's going to stay up that really shouldn't. Like it should be like almost like a golf tournament where it's like, here's the cut line.
Remember
here's the cut line.
Remember the beginning of the year when Hull had like 14 players on their roster?
Yeah.
Like that team does not deserve to stay up.
They had half their youth roster.
Yeah.
First of all, we're talking about back when they had a manager who's no longer in the picture.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they didn't have a manager for a little while.
They weren't feeling Michael Phelan. Mm-hmm. And he's Didn't he get like the vote of confidence or the extension, and then they were like, and now you're gone.
Yeah, the vote of confidence is the kiss of death. Like, as soon as you get it, you know you're gone.
Yeah, eventually. You're effed.
Yeah. So yeah, that is your Premier League weekend. Real quickly, let's just dance through the Champions League.
Yeah.
Just real fast. Juventus 3, Barcelona 0. Dybala just fantastic in the match.
That guy's pretty good.
Sign a new deal with him afterwards. So if your team's looking to buy him this summer, they're going to be spending a pretty penny. Yeah. No way Barcelona can pull off a comeback again, right? Right?
I saw the meme with the guy pointing at his head like,
yeah. Yeah. It's accurate.
You can't have a massive comeback.
Can't rule them out.
Without first having a massive collapse.
Bayern 1, Real Madrid 2. Madrid getting 2 goals on the road. Mm-hmm. Big for them, heading it back.
They should have got more, though.
Mm-hmm.
They played a good stretch there in the second half, up a man.
Yeah.
They should have scored more.
They really should have.
I'm calling right now, they're going to regret not piling it on up a man in that first leg.
All right.
They're going to lose.
It's a prediction right there. It's a prediction right there.
We had 30 minutes with a man up in that first leg, and we scored 1 goal.
It's a valid point. Atletico 1, Leicester 0. Leicester fans were absolutely mental in Madrid.
Uh-huh.
Losing their minds. To be fair, good result
for them.
Actually, a really good result.
1-0?
To be fair, Atletico win most of their games, like 1-2-0. Like, nothing really over that point.
Right.
They are defensive-minded for sure. But all that said, the Leicester fans being complete hooligans, you know, starting fights with police, throwing bottles all over the place. The one funny thing that came out of all of it was...
This is the act like you've been there situation,
yeah,
right?
Definitely not.
But wait, you've never been there.
Yeah. But what was the one funny chant that they actually did was something to the effect of, like, Gibraltar's ours. Like, they're in the Spanish capital. I thought that was kind of funny. So, and then the final match, obviously, delayed a day. Dortmund 2, Monaco 3.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be a fabulous match.
Right.
We're going to revisit it a little bit later on in the program, why it was delayed. But just the theatrics and the theater that was going on around this game.
Yeah.
Given what happened the day before with the bombing of the Dortmund team bus. Mark Bartra is out, I think, 6 weeks or something along those lines. He had to have surgery.
Otherwise, he missed the rest of the season.
Yeah. But... amazing that their bus was bombed and only one player broke their wrist, and that's all.
Did you
really
see? And stop me if this was your way here. Did you see where the Daily Mail posted on Twitter a what would you call it? A bus map essentially of where all the players sat on the bus. But oh wait, it was from 2014 because it was like Jurgen Klopp. Matt Hummels.
That was not.
Robert Lewandowski.
The Suns.
It's recent.
They're on fire right now. Really having a good time with themselves at the moment. Yeah. So a fabulous round. But obviously 3 away goals is a bit of a mountain to give up for Dortmund. But still all to play. And probably one of the games of the tournament too, outside of the Barcelona match so far. Really fun one. So let's move over stateside.
Let's go stateside, and let's start with whipping around the MLS. Pretty good week. If you were the Columbus Crew, you got back in right standing as the team that was, for a moment there, for a couple weeks, top of the East. They finally claw back after a bad result last week in Chicago, where they fall 1-0. They have the much anticipated, I know we were all marking our calendar, Trillium Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Round one, I guess.
Yeah. One of three?
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Maybe four.
I think it's three.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And it's that man again, Justin Merrim.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about last week. Literally the most underrated player in MLS. Scores the winner in this one. Ola Kamara also getting on it. Josie Altidore actually scored... pretty early into this match. Kind of a weird match. A lot of people trying to point fingers. I know especially some folks down around our end trying to point fingers at the poor attendance to this match.
Mm-hmm.
This match coincided with the Ohio State spring football game.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you know this, football kind of a big deal in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And a few people showed up to that.
Yeah. I mean, look, one of the things about Columbus is it's a college sports town, and you really can't.
First and foremost.
You can't overstate that point about Columbus. Like, you can't trip and fall without landing on something that's crimson and what is it, silver? This is awful. I live in Ohio. I should know that. Scarlet and gray.
Scarlet
and gray.
And gray.
Man, can we cut that part?
Crimson?
Yeah.
That'd be Alabama, sir.
I literally watch like zero college football.
They're literally called the Crimson Tide.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry. Literally. I'm going to have some friends that are going to try to burn down my house probably. Yeah.
The Unabomber is going to come after you.
Great. I'm pretty sure that guy's in jail. So.
Well, I think he went to Harvard too.
Yeah. God damn it. Misappropriating colors once again.
So the Crew are back on top. They're back on top of the Eastern Conference with 13 points. Other teams, and this was the Fox broadcast national match of the week. MLS finally getting back on the as we call it, the networks,
mm-hmm.
free airwaves, as Orlando City took on LA Galaxy in a fantastic match
mm-hmm.
on Saturday as they beat the LA Galaxy 2-1. Kyle Larin, who's really just kind of the rising star of MLS right now.
Yeah, he really is.
Scoring at the death in this one. To seal it against, you know, the equalizer just minutes before that, coming from a guy in Alessandrini for LA Galaxy, a guy who I feel pretty good about the fact that I predicted that he was going to have a decent go.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who started for Marseille for several years and is not old. Coming to the Galaxy, I think it was a very underrated pickup as far as DP signings and kind of a bit of a changing of the guard happening there in LA. So big win for Orlando. Chicago also staying in the winning column
mm-hmm.
as they win again. Schweinsteiger with a goal.
Yep, 3-0 over New England there. So they are your top three teams in the East.
Yeah.
Columbus, Orlando, Chicago. Ironically, over on the top of the West.
Literally last year, three teams that were terrible.
Yeah. welcome to MLS Parody Land. At the top of the West, Columbus's once MLS Cup final rivals, Portland Timbers. They lost to now second in the West, Sporting Kansas City at home. First time this year, Portland were shuttered. Sporting hot on their heels.
The American. Dom Dwyer getting the goal in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado falling to Salt Lake, who are now on a two-match win streak with Mike Pecky.
All right.
The sweater vest back in action and getting results. He is 2-0 at the helm of Real Salt Lake. Hey, Minnesota, you got points again.
Yeah, just one.
2-2 draw with Houston. Houston, a team that started out super hot at the beginning of the season. Everyone was like, hey, check out Houston. They're doing awesome stuff.
They cooled off
Kubo Torres. And then now nothing.
Yeah.
Red Bulls finally didn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
They get a 2-0 win over DC United, who are back to
being sucky.
Sucking again. Yeah.
Montreal 2-1 over Atlanta. Atlanta cooling off a little bit after their hot start.
Well, I mean, they're still playing. This is a stretch here without Yosef Martinez, who mm-hmm. was the catalyst. I mean, the guy that was scoring buckets of goals there in those first couple weeks. He's going to still be out for a few more weeks as the Venezuelan is still down with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, not many matches.
There was a San Jose 1-1 with Dallas that was in there.
Boring.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I think that was it for your MLS section this weekend.
So that was MLS. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, let's go to a little domestic news whip around. Mm-hmm. We mentioned it at the top of the show, obviously. FC Cincinnati had a somewhat notable home opener.
Yeah.
We were both in attendance.
Yeah, we were both there. I was
on the clock. I was
being a guy, just some guy.
Just a jag.
Mm-hmm.
Just a guy.
But yeah, FC Cincinnati getting a humongous 4-0 win over who was at the time the top team in the East, St. Louis FC, led by Preki. Had a chance to meet the U.S. men's national team legend. Very polite and proper to me. I've heard he can be a little American bit of a bear.
American soccer folk hero, really.
Yeah, that's actually
you're a talking great way about a guy it. Who made his bones was on the national team, but made his bones in indoor arena soccer.
And then in MLS in the early days, he was legend for Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know. When I think Preki, I think MISL or whatever they were calling themselves at that time.
Yeah,
I think of arena.
You're not wrong. Anyway, Preki was there coaching a team in an outdoor league. Yeah.
He did not enjoy himself.
SCC getting the big win on the back of a 4-goal outpouring from Senegalese striker Jimmy Fall.
That's six on the season for him.
Now leading the league in scoring, so yeah. Big there.
And leading the team in scoring also.
Only man six to have scored. Yeah. he is leading all sorts of organizations at this point in scoring. Also, a night where FCC won in the stands. Everyone loves that here in Ohio. A
few people showed up.
A little over 23,000. I think it was 23,144.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You were without you, we'd have been 23,140.
I mean, I used someone's season ticket, so they were already. That was a number that was already on the on, Damn, you the, didn't on add the register.
Anything.
There,
you didn't add anything.
I used my buddy's Kyle's season ticket, so yeah.
Yeah, that makes it the USL home opener record. So now FC Cincinnati owns just about every single USL attendance record, I believe, shy of the final probably at this point.
Yeah, that you guys have had zero people out of final.
Yeah, that's right. So need to make one to set that mark first.
Get that number up.
Yeah, not only that, but host one. But yeah, great night for them. Staying in the USL, a couple other big stories. One that broke last week, arguably the biggest story in the league, potentially history-wise. The league gained a new investor and player at the same time.
Who?
This guy named Didier Drogba.
Oh. Yeah,
it's been rumored for a while.
Here's me not being a very educated USL fan.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that we had a little realignment. St. Louis was no longer in the West.
Yeah.
Because I immediately, when I saw the news, was like, when is Phoenix coming to St. Louis? I can drive there. And then I was like, dang it. They're in the East.
They're in the East this year, yeah.
There's nobody close I can drive to that Phoenix is going to be playing.
No. No, there's not.
Literally,
Tulsa.
I could get in a time machine, and I believe they played in Toronto or something like that.
No, that Toronto played there.
Oh,
yeah, even worse. It's even worse.
That's not helping at all.
Yeah, and that game happened before he had officially signed on. So yeah, huge news for them. He'll be a minority owner, one would presume. I don't know that they said whether he'd be a minority or majority, but one would presume he'd be a minority owner for the Phoenix. Rising FC, and is a big portion, one would presume, of their MLS bid and push. Saw some people hot taking it, saying that this makes them a lock for MLS expansion. I don't know that it's quite a lock, but it's certainly a nice feather to tuck in your cap.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to catch some attention for you.
It pads the resume a bit.
But this is the thing. Phoenix have gone out and signed a bunch of, like, really good players that were really good in like the early 2000s.
Well, they already have two people that won the title with Chelsea in 2005.
Yeah.
Sean Wright Phillips and Didier Drogba.
But there's also in the picture Omar Bravo, the Mexican national team legend. But all these guys are like pushing late 30s, if not even 40s at this point. So,
which I think segues to another story that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
John Terry and Chelsea will part ways at the end of the season.
Is he going to join his old pal Drogues?
Well, we can go two routes here in the this is counts as domestic news because MLS, according to ESPN FC, has, quote, no interest in signing John Terry. Obviously, this makes sense, though. Why would – because – for a guy of John Terry's stature,
mm-hmm.
you have to pay him big money, DP spot. The teams that would go after the big, aging, big name in Europe generally want that person to be a goal scorer.
Yeah.
So to get a center back, pay a bunch of money for a DP.
Not only that, but
37-year-old center back.
Center backs don't age like fine wine.
No.
Like, typically, when you're a big lumbering guy that has spent your whole career reactively like chasing people around, that does a number on your body and you're falling apart. And there's a reason why John Terry's not in the team in Chelsea right now. It's because he's an old man falling apart.
Not only an old man, if you follow him on Instagram, you'll know that he's literally not even been around the team for most of the past couple months.
Yeah.
He's been in and out of Portugal working on his UEFA licenses.
Yeah.
Because he wants to get into coaching.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you would think if he's got a deal left in him, it's probably in China. Doesn't that seem like the place for John Terry? Go there and be
Qatar.
a giant. Yeah, Qatar. That's a good one. Could see that happening.
Maybe him and Clattenburg can hang out in Saudi Arabia.
Well, Clattenburg rescinded. He's taken back. He's signed a new deal with the Premier League.
I thought he unrescinded again.
Oh, maybe he
did. He's all over the joint.
Oh.
Him and his hair system. You can never tell.
Take that sponsorship somewhere. Listen,
I say this as a bald man. You can't trust a man with a hair system.
That's a good point. Because
he's already lying to you with his physical appearance.
That's a really, really good point. Louisville City still undefeated in the league, dropping a nice 9,000 number this past weekend. Attendance-wise, when they hosted Tampa Bay, who FC Cincinnati will be facing on Wednesday this week.
Yeah, I noticed that Tampa even just went ahead and just flew into Cincinnati and then drove to Louisville.
Probably smart flying, if I had to guess. There's probably a direct flight from Tampa, but probably not one into Louisville.
Not to the Ville.
Just gonna guess that's the case.
They flew having straight to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and then drove up from there.
Yep. Watched the movie on the way there as well. So there is a nice domestic wrap for you.
Hold on. Two more stories I want to hit really quick. Tim Howard got suspended.
For the altercation with Dom Dwyer?
No, because – and we mentioned this. Remember I called it the FU Derby last week? Now, they had that altercation, him and Dom Dwyer,
right?
Him and the American, had that conversation. But he also on – I believe it was, you know, on the Vine video that is allegedly not dead, got into it with a fan. And was cussing out a fan at one point.
Oh,
was
I caught on video
and obviously made the rounds on Twitter. And that is what he's been suspended for.
Well.
And the players' union is backing Tim Howard saying, hey, MLS needs to tighten up their ship. You can't be allowing these fans just acting like this. Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there, players' union and
Tim Howard. Like the fan like jumped on the field and tried to stab Tim Howard. Like,
yeah. He just said something he didn't agree with. Like, be a professional here, man.
And then one other story, obviously. The NWSL got kicked off this weekend. Sydney LaRue back after maternity leave. Scored a absolute screamer.
Yeah.
Golazo for her. But also the other big story that kind of cropped up. I saw Jonathan Tannenwald and other people kind of mention this. It almost was like this streaming deal that was not even spoken of till like literally the day of. The Go 90 app, for any of you Verizon customers.
I have it on my phone.
On your phone.
Yeah.
Go 90 app. It's a free app that's already on your phone. It's data free. So you can be literally driving in your car, not recommended, not safe, and watching a match. I've never done it.
No, neither one of us.
No,
have ever done that at all. Not even in the car together.
Never watched El Clasico while driving, and we certainly never watched that Crew game while driving back from Louisville.
No, that didn't happen.
But yeah, the Go90 app, and so and they have all of the matches that are not part of like the lifetime national broadcast.
Yeah, they're all streamed.
Are available right there.
Yeah, for free.
You basically have the equivalent of like MLS Live. You have the NWSL Live, essentially.
Yeah.
Boom, right there on your phone if you're a Verizon
great
customer.
Great deal. Absolutely great deal.
$0.
Absolutely great deal. And that is a fabulous move for that league as they continue to push onward and upward.
Yeah, get those eyeballs.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to...
question of the week.
Our question of the week. And this came from, obviously, the fact that we've mentioned this. I've taken a new career, a new job. Working for Gotham Soccer. Again, if you're in the cities that we're in about six cities, getting ready to launch in about three more. And you want to play some soccer? Let us know.
Yeah.
But obviously, with the fun about playing rec soccer is you get to come up with your own team name.
That's right. And good team names, you see this a lot in fantasy. And obviously it's been kind of like a culture thing for a long time, is coming up with a cool name for your team. And you kind of threw it out there. What are some good or funny team names that we've seen people have over the years? My indoor team I've been playing on now for probably approaching 10, maybe we're probably over 10 years now. Uh-huh. We're the Powder Hounds.
I don't even understand what that means.
Well, a lot of people assume that means that we're Cokeheads, Powder Hounds. Like,
are you Cokeheads?
No, actually, we're mostly skiers. Oh. At once upon a time, we were skiers. All of us were skiers.
Skiers also Cokeheads?
Like in 50, the 80s, 50, right? In the 80s, okay. Perhaps. I would say more potheads than Cokeheads, but yeah. Yeah, but that's not really funny.
Back in the Snow Bunny era?
Yeah, exactly. And we are not in the Snow Bunny era any longer, at least within my indoor team. But the team that we always played that I always thought was good, it was hashtag, which before we knew what hashtags were, it was just pound.
Pound. Pound sign.
And then it was MNDS. So hashtag MNDS. But they wanted you to say it quickly. So it was pound MNDS. Pound them in the ass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Which I thought was a good little clever one.
That's like someone's license plate or something. Like, yeah,
it's exactly what it is. Did you have any good ones?
Yeah. So obviously now that I am commissioning leagues here in Cincinnati, I'm privy to some of the names that we have, and we got some good ones. I think this is just a nice one. Spicy nutmeg.
Mm. That's a spicy nutmeg.
Also, I don't even understand this one. No, this is a co-ed team, so maybe that alludes to what they're referring to here.
Sure.
I'm not making any guesses. Beavers and weasels.
Okay. I wonder what that could stand for.
I couldn't imagine.
Couldn't think of anything.
Some of the other ones. How about our current league leaders in our co-ed recreational league? Multiple scorgasms.
No, that's pretty solid. Like that one.
Net six and chill.
Like it?
My kick in a box.
All right.
And of course, and I know we're anti these jokes still being relevant.
It's going to be Harambe one, isn't it?
Kicks out for Harambe.
Yep, I knew. Kicks out for Harambe. Had to have been one here in Cincinnati. We did get some fan submitted ones as well. I think a couple of people were a little confused. We weren't actually looking for like real teams' names that you found funny. Although we did see several people who suggested Real Salt Lake, which, I mean, it is kind of funny.
We have a team in our men's, or in one of our leagues, our men's 11 leagues called Real City United SC.
It sounds like the name of your fantasy team.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. But we did get a handful of these that were submitted in. Our good buddy Aaron Kolup, one of the owners of Rhine House, one of our favorite soccer bars here in Cincinnati. There's a Play to Feed FC in my league. Not a funny name necessarily, but probably a rather demanding team to play for. Like, you know exactly where you need to be putting
it. Get that ball in the ground.
Yeah, that's right. We had a Shut the Fuck Up United. STF United. That came in from Queen City Firm. Susie Langan says my son's first club team. His coach, a U9 coach, was Alvin, and the team's nickname, Chipmunks. So damn. Alvin of the Chipmunks. That's fairly clever. Let's keep scrolling up. My wife plays on a team with our good friend Tana Weingartner, who we referenced earlier as potentially being deaf. She is not blind. She replied to our tweets, and she said the team that they play on together, Sub Please.
Yeah,
Sub Please.
A lot of chants coming from the players for their own team name.
Yeah, pretty much just saying, hey, I actually need a sub. Our buddy Fletcher Nostradamus from the Outer Drive podcast, he said, I played for an over 30 team named Blue Balls because we were blue.
Well, I So I didn't play a whole lot of youth soccer, but I played a lot of youth hockey. And for several years, I was on a team called, we were just the Maroons.
Mm-hmm.
But our coach, because we were terrible, just yelled at us and called us the Morons.
Oh, nice. Was it the Crimsons?
No, we were actually Maroons. Not the Crimsons, we were just maroon the Maroons. Color.
Okay, fair enough. Some of the other ones, there was one that was called 21 Feet. We saw our league name. This came from our good buddy Gage Magoto up in Ada, Ohio. The name of the league is the Black Swamp Soccer League. That's a reference to actually that whole area of Ohio used to be a swamp. A little geography lesson for
you.
Hey,
it's all a swamp.
Yeah, that's right. My U-12 team, this is coming from Jared Wilson, was Hugga Hugga Icebreakers. It's a little almost uncomfortable.
Yeah. Was that U-12?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Jamie wrote in Norfolk Enchants. Like it.
Got it.
And then there was another one. Oh, Hispanic at the Disco. That came in from Jonathan Foster. And then this one came from KBG Kirk from the Northern Guard supporters. He says his favorite, the teams he's played against, was Game of Throw-ins.
Oh, I like that.
If they played against the team that was played to my feet, they would probably – get dominated, I'm guessing.
Some tactical differences there.
Yeah. There's some good ones out there.
So, I mean, was there any other teams that you had ever played for that had?
They all kind of like.
I mean, you kind of played cracks. For that one that had been for forever, so I guess it was just the one team name, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess Yellow Springs International, there's really nothing clever about ours. In the league that I play in, like, teams tend to have, like, more. Like,
I mean, if you're Yellow Springs names. International, shouldn't you be like, you know, Dave Chappelle FC or something like that?
We've been trying to get Dave on as a sponsor for years. He's not jumped at it at all.
Hey, man, Netflix just gave him a big check.
To be fair, Yellow Springs is the town you're referencing. That's where Dave Chappelle lives, just outside of Dayton. No joke, Yellow Springs is a really cool town. There's an awesome state park that's right near there that's great for hiking and climbing and all sorts of fun stuff.
If you like patchouli deodorant and dreadlocks and incense.
Yeah.
Yellow Springs is your place.
But what I'm going to say is if you're a Dave Chappelle fan, if you hang around Yellow Springs enough, you're going to run into the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he literally sits out on a bench on the main street, like, every morning, gets a coffee. I've had several beers with Dave Chappelle.
That's why he lives it, because he can be just a dude.
He is one of the stinkiest human beings I've ever sat next to. I will say that without a doubt.
He lives on a farm.
That he does. And Dave Chappelle is pretty much a hippie that lifts weights, apparently. So, anyway, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that we've had in the league. A lot of them just haven't been all that clever in our Dayton league.
It's disappointing. All right, winners and wankers?
Winners and wankers.
You're a winner.
I think I have to go with the NWSL and their new league broadcast deal with Lifetime. For women's soccer here in this country, it's been a really hard go. We've had, what, three leagues collapse in the last 15 years. The NWSL has made strides, and you see them sometimes make some of the same mistakes that their predecessors did. This is one of those deals that just is nothing but a home run and is absolutely what the league needs to sustain itself.
As I pointed out on social media when it was first announced, Lifetime is actually in more households than ESPN.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot more than FS1 and FS2.
Mm-hmm.
And like pretty much like three times the amount as like BN Sport.
Yeah.
So like all the traditional routes that people, because I think there was a lot of people like, oh, we're on Lifetime. That's not a sports channel. Well, they're in like pretty much every household that has even just a stitch of cable.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's kind of nowadays really just about distribution from all platforms, digital, cable, all the different forms there and Lifetime and kind of this joint venture of having their own kind of media house. That's the route you have to go these days.
Absolutely.
I mean, the USL has done that. They have their own, they've kind of created their own media company to run a lot of things. I mean, that is what is necessary in 2017.
And ironically, the USL media company that they hired as the consultants to work on this and do a lot of the production for them is the same company that the NWSL has hired And that Lifetime have hired to actually do a lot of the production work on their league as well. So just an enormous deal for the women's league, and I'm really happy for women's soccer in general.
And because of that, Mike Watt calls games on both.
That's right. Absolutely.
Your winner. My winner, Colorado Rapids. I believe he had the goal of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Skelzen Gashi. During halftime, he's out there warming up a little bit, and they put a split screen on the Jumbotron of him and a guy they found on the, in the stands that looked just like him.
Oh, awesome.
And both Gashi and the guy realized they saw the split screen at the same time and both freaked out and were like pointing at each other like, hey, look at that. What do you look like?
That's crazy.
It was. It's kind of, they put it on a Twitter today. It's actually hysterical to watch the video.
I am immediately going to watch that after we're done with this. How about your wanker?
My wanker. SC Bastia supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Twice. Not one time. Twice. Ran on the field and tried to fight Leon players. Match had to be suspended. This is not their first rodeo as far as running out onto the field and trying to assault people.
Not good to do, fans.
No, not good.
You're supposed to stay on the other side of that wall near the seats. If you're on the grass, you're probably not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, not good. No. Not a good luck.
No. I'm giving my wanker this week to UEFA.
Okay.
For making Dortmund play a game less than 24 hours after their fucking bus was bombed.
That's not a big deal, right? Like a bus got bombed and then like one of your players is out for the season?
I know that only one player
and you had some players
severely hurt right. enough to a point where he's hurt. Just imagine the state your mind would be in after.
Well, I forgot who it was. One of the players, I think it was Berkey, had pointed out afterwards, like, he's can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's having, like, panic attacks in the middle of the night because of this, like, trauma that's been created by being on a bus that was bombed.
Now, I understand there are logistical things to this. Like, they would have had to move a lot of games to make this one game work. But I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe, you could give him a little bit of a reprieve here.
But, you know what? On to that, though. Let's go honorary winner.
Mm-hmm.
How about all the Dortmund fans that housed Monaco fans overnight?
And absolutely incredible.
Fed them dinner and gave them a place to sleep.
Everything you hear about Dortmund, actually German football fans almost in general, but Dortmund fans in particular always seem to rise to the top here. They just seem like they get it. They're like nice people that are in it for the enjoyment of the game. You know what I mean? So, but yeah. What the hell, UEFA? Like, come on.
Hey, guys, and I know your bus was bummed. You good to play at, like, you know, 2 p.m. tomorrow?
Sounds good.
Okay.
That'll work. I guess that brings us to the end of this week's show.
All righty.
If you want to get a hold of us, you want to contribute, contact at wrongsideofthepond.com via email. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter, myself at wrongsideofpond. And all the other social outlets as well. We've got places there too. So
yep. Check out our Zanga.
Hit us up.
All right, folks.
See ya.
Bye. You